In the swing state of Colorado this election, voters will decide whether to change the way that state awards its electoral votes. Right now, all but two states parcel them out on a winner-take-all basis. A ballot initiative would make Colorado the first state to divide them in proportion to the popular vote. We're joined by NPR's political editor, Ken Rudin. Welcome.
Hello, Jennifer.
So, is this initiative in Colorado a response to the excruciatingly close election 4 years ago?
Absolutely. A lot of Democrats were very upset about what happened in 2000. Al Gore had won the popular vote but lost in the Electoral College. Most of the states, 48 out of the 50 states right now, have winner-take-all situations. Maine and Nebraska split their electoral votes by whoever wins congressional districts. The initiative in Colorado wanted to split it proportionally. So instead of there are nine electoral votes in Colorado, for example, so rather than George W. Bush or John Kerry winning all nine, it would be split proportionally according to what the presidential vote was in that state.
And to be clear on how crucial this is, potentially, if Colorado had done this 4 years ago, Al Gore could be president today. Is that not
Well,
true?
that is absolutely true. 4 years ago, George W. Bush carried the state of Colorado, won all. Now it has nine electoral votes, then it had eight. Had it been split proportionally according to what the vote was, Al Gore would have picked up enough electoral votes to be president today.
Now, the Colorado initiative is retroactive. So if this thing passes, it would apply to this election year. So who would likely benefit if it passes?
Well, again, if you believe the current polls, and again, you with 6, 7 weeks to go before the election, things can change with the debates coming up and everything like that. But if you believe the current polls, Bush seems to have a lead in Colorado. So you would think that obviously, if it's proportional, not winner take all, the Democrats would benefit in Colorado.
Now, many who oppose the system as it exists now say that it is inequitable, that with a winner-take-all system, that smaller states basically have too much power. They get too much say.
Well, look, if this were done by popular vote, candidates would spend the time where their vote lies. And that's why the campaigns are spending so much money in the states of Pennsylvania and Florida and Ohio and Missouri and New Hampshire, because those states have not been put in either camp as of yet. Those states will determine the next president of the United States.
How is it that so many states can be considered predetermined already?
Clearly, we could be wrong about all these predicting states. For example, many states that went a certain way in 1996 went completely differently in 2000. But again, if we expect a close election in 2004, as we saw in 2000, it is fair to assume that certain states, like California, like New York, like Rhode Island, like Massachusetts, will go Democratic, whereas George W. Bush will be very strong and win in states like Indiana and Texas and Utah and much, if not all, of the South. And that's why, given the 50 states, there are 12 or 13 or 14 states that, again, are too close to call because of what happened in 2000, because of current polls, because of certain either Kerry or Bush have pulled out of the states because they feel that they're not winnable. But again, if we're expecting a back-to-back close presidential election, I think both sides agree that there are really only a handful of states that are really going to determine this election.
Now, in Colorado, where we've mentioned these voters will decide whether to apportion their electoral votes according to the popular vote. If that passes, opponents have vowed to launch a court challenge because it's the legislature who's supposed to decide the way electoral votes are apportioned, not a voter initiative here. Could we be looking at another protracted post-election legal battle?
As you were asking the question, I was shaking my head in horror because just the thought of having a second consecutive presidential election decided by courts would, I think, be too much for the American people. I mean, if you mentioned Florida, half the American people now that they have these nightmares of a protracted vote count of people holding up chads about the courts deciding, the U.S. Supreme Court deciding ultimately who would be the president of the United States. If it happened in the second successive presidential election, not only you would have initiatives to revamp the Electoral College, you'd probably burn the college down itself. I mean, it would be that ugly.
Well, there is the question, is it fair that the man who got the most votes did not get the presidency?
Well, it's not fair if you're Al Gore, certainly, and it has happened several times in history. But again, the Constitution never says he or she who gets the most votes wins, you know, takes up all the marbles. The rule says who gets up 270 electoral votes. A perfect example is the 1960 World Series. The New York Yankees scored far more runs than the Pittsburgh Pirates, but the Pirates won 4 out of the 7 games. And to win the World Series, you need to win 4 games. To win the presidency, you need 270 electoral votes.
Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor. Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer.